Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien. I am very sorry to interrupt you at the start of Legacy of the Ancients. And I promise this is for the last time for quite a while. I just wanted to once again remind you that starting tomorrow, August 22nd, and going through August 23rd and 24th, every evening we're going to be streaming a marathon game of Strange Aeons on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/theglasscannon. This is a sorry the 2020 tour was canceled. Please come out and watch us get back into the skin of these characters and just have a blast doing it. Get the Naish together for one good old-fashioned hoedown to kick off the fall. There's going to be plenty of exciting announcements. There's going to be giveaways. The list goes on and on. So if you are free at any point during the evenings this weekend, starting at 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. on Monday, come by our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/theglasscannon. And watch a little Strange Aeons marathon straight through to the end of book one. End of book one or bust. We'll see you guys this weekend. For now, though, enjoy Legacy of the Ancients, episode 16.
You know, we used to cast our characters on the shows. We used to say, if this game were a movie, say, or a television show, what known actor would you cast as this person? We stopped the practice on Nick Lowe's advice. So everybody, thank good old Nick Lowe for closing off that avenue of joy forever.
Ruined it.
Hey, I'm just sharing. I'm sharing some wisdom that I've gained in my time in the entertainment field.
It was sound advice. I, for one, I would hate to be sued by Harvey Keitel's estate or whatever.
Yeah, you don't know.
It was good advice.
Harvey Keitel still alive?
Yeah, but by the time we got big enough to be sued, I'm sure he would be dead.
You can only cast them with people in the public domain.
Oh, right. Okay. So this is played by Olivia de Havilland and Robin Hood.
Or public figures. This is played by...
He's
played by Ivanhoe.
Thorn is played by Lady Bird Johnson. She's a public figure, and it's okay.
I'm pretty sure I cast Rhapsody as Justin Thoreau in the first episode.
Yes, oh, actually, you did. You did.
Right. Thanks for bringing that up again.
I continue
stronger than anyone's case
don't
at all.
Need Nick Lowe's advice.
I'm making a point not to.
I listen and I go right the other way.
Is there any kind of way that we can absolve ourselves of liability for this? Can we say, is there any kind of legal trick?
You just don't say that the person's playing them. You just say like, Foley looks sort of similar to, you know, if I had to give it an example of somebody looks similar to in the real world, like a Chris O'Dowd sort of person.
For
those listening at home, I'm shaking my head from the legal advice I've gotten. No, I don't think that's actually sound ways to protect yourself.
Okay. What was your advice from lawyers?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. I take it back.
Well, we talked about this because Marvel has used real life people as references without their permission for various characters before. Famously, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. I'm sure he's not mad because it ended up giving him a bunch of money down the road.
We got incredibly lucky there. Yeah. Incredibly lucky. Because there have been other times where it has not gone well. Like, there's a famous case of it's a cover of Doctor Strange, and there's an artist who drew, there's a big female face on it, and he drew, he used Amy Grant as photo reference, and she sued the shit out of him.
Oh, really?
And, oh my God, yeah. She basically lost his house out of it. And, and Marvel, lost a bunch of, that is the example we use all the time. But there was a time where.
And Marvel has no liability there. The artist does, because I guess he signs a contract that says everything is his original work.
I think Marvel took a hit at that point too, but he took the bigger hit. But
we talked about our old friends, Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson, used Simon Pegg in The Boys. Same thing, but he happened to be super cool and he was like, yeah, all right. And then he also ended up getting cast in the show. So it's like, maybe don't make such a big deal out of it, Amy Grant.
Right. You know who I'm never going to cast one of my characters is? Amy Grant.
That's right.
Baby, I'll never be my character.
Sorry. Bye, Felicia. So, but before we were doing that, I was anticipating doing this show, and I was really excited about Shillelagh, and I really wanted. It was so stupid. I was really excited to cast her, and I'm not doing this. I was excited to cast her as an archer because she is an archer, and it would just be so fun. It'd be like, that's so fun. She's an archer. It's like, no. She's played by an archer. she's played by an archer. No. She's an archer. Wait. What? And that and could go on for hours.
You can obfuscate them for years in lawsuits.
In this case, it's Paizo who'd be in trouble anyway, I think, so you're fine.
Right. Okay, so Ann Archer will greet you.
Do you remember who played Shillelagh in our Jade Region campaign?
I do.
No, who was it?
Joe?
No, I don't remember her name, but I know exactly who it is.
Margot Robbie.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Forgot about that.
I can't remember who I... Oh, Ameiko was Kristen Crook.
Yeah.
Okay. Pre or post cult?
I didn't know she's in a cult, so I guess it would be
pre.
I thought she was the perfect Ameiko.
So did Nexium.
Is she in Nexium?
Yeah. So apparently she got out earlier than some of the others, but.
Well, anyway,
I don't mean to make light of it. It's a very terrible situation. But
wow, I didn't know she was in that. Come on, Kristen Crook.
Well, speaking of being excited about Rise of the Rune Lords stuff, I am familiar with the Glassworks. It is, like, vaguely familiar. I remember it from the Adventure Card Game, and I remember it, it has a Sirenscape sound set. So I've always seen this sound set that just says Glassworks on it. And then as soon as you said that last episode, I was like, oh, sweet, like... This is something that I know, and it's cool right now to be there, you know, to like feel like I'm in there because it's way cooler than I expected. I thought that it was like, I imagined it like the, in Giant Slayer, like the apothecary or whatever, like, I can't remember whose place it was, but it's just like a small little hut. I thought it was like a tiny little glass blower. Yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't realize it was like a big old factory, and I think that this is, I've just been very excited about this ep because I think that it's such a cool image, like to be fighting a ton of goblins in like a factory that of like sheets of glass. It's just like, what a great idea, because you have this, the idea of the rumbling furnaces and the heat and the intensity of the environment, and then combine it with like the silliness of goblins and breaking glass. And as you fight them, probably glass is going to be falling. And so, I mean, it's just a really brilliant design for an encounter, I think.
Yeah, it is great. It's an indictment of the early industrial age in combat form. So you guys really enjoy it, I think.
Topical.
I got the black lung pop.
You've been down there one day. Talk to me in 20 years.
All right. So by the way, anybody out there, feel free to use that Ann Archer gag in your own home games. Just not in a podcast. Everybody roll for initiative.
Okay. Oh, baby.
Roll, Ricka, roll, Ricka, roll, Ricka, roll, Ricka, roll for initiative.
Nice, Nick. Boom. Nice.
Boom.
How do you guys feel about when you see a concert? Remember concerts?
Nope.
Vaguely.
How did you feel when you saw a musician that you really liked do a song that you love and change it? Like for the live performance?
Hated
and
it.
Me too. Hated and I would always think back and I'd be like, why did I want it to just be the exact same thing that's on the recorded thing? Like, I could just listen to the recorded thing. Yet, every time they, like, improv a little bit or change something, I'm like, ugh, don't like the way that sounds.
Really?
Yeah. I'm the opposite. You're crazy. I'm the opposite.
Yeah. No, I know. I know that I'm crazy. It just bothers me. So funny.
I mean, I've seen Sting. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, sorry. No, you go, Troy. You go.
I was just saying, I've seen Sting so many times. And, I mean, these are songs that go back to the 70s. A lot of them, like, I don't want to hear Roxanne the way it was in the album. I want to hear the 70th version of Roxanne now. It's like that blends into another song that he hadn't blended Roxanne with. Like, go from Roxanne straight into Message in a Bottle. I'm like, what? How do you? I thought we were still singing Roxanne. How do you do that? And same thing with Counting Crows. We see Counting Crows a lot, or we did before.
You love
kids.
Them. You go see them every week.
You talk about them constantly. They were featured at your wedding. I mean, you love Counting Crows.
You followed them around in a VW van over half the country.
I wish I did. I mean, it was. I loved them growing up, and then I didn't really listen to them. It's my wife's favorite band. I was like, really? So when we started dating, we started going to their concerts and went all the time, and it is a fucking blast because you'd be listening to a song. All they do is hits, constant hits, and you would listen to a song for about 3 minutes before you're like, oh, now I know what song this is, because they change it up all the time. Anyways.
I've been to a Counting Crows concert.
Joe, your opinion's wrong.
The counterexample I have is any Bruce Springsteen concert. But in particular, the live performances of Prove It All Night with the guitar solo on the Darkness tour. YouTube it. It's great.
Right, but there's plenty of those like Bruce Springsteen live songs. I listen to it. I'm just like, that's just not as good as the recorded version. It's just not as good.
How can you listen to a live version of The River when he talks about his dad and then say that's better than the recorded version? You're insane.
Anyway, what brought it up was Nick always changes the role for initiative just slightly for what it actually is.
Oh, I see.
And I think it's terrible and I hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
I just want you to sing the recorded version.
Yeah, I want the real version.
He's just picking one of the harmony lines. Right?
Yeah, he's singing the harmony, yeah, right? Yeah. I guess that's what it is. Yeah.
And now, see, I'm worried that people will remember this episode more for that version of that song than for my amazing Ann Archer joke.
That is...
I don't even have a
problem.
See? Foley. Fawful Finn Foley. And what did you get for initiative?
14.
14. For the foes. For the foes. Rhapsody. Oh, shit. What is your initiative bone?
Plus 2.
Okay.
So that doesn't sound good. I like the sound of that.
Out of the gate. You might have to share. I'm just saying. Rhapsody Kincaid, your initiative.
A big wet 19.
Ooh, 19. Whoa. What is your init bone?
Plus 6.
Whoa.
That's a roll off.
Amazing.
It's a roll off.
It's a roll off. It's a roll off.
There's a goblin with a plus 6 initiative.
Mine was wet, by the way.
Okay.
Does a natural 20 beat whatever you rolled?
Whoa! It does. It actually does beat my natural 2. So
what's your bonus? Ask for a friend whose name is Justin Thoreau.
Nick is so concerned. Look at him.
I am. It's not for you guys, not for me. Oh, no, you're, I don't have equity.
By the way, this is all Nick's idea. Nick did all of this casting, and he made us do it.
I was like, incorrect. I cast my character in the show as well. Nick, were you the only one who didn't?
I did not.
Nick's the only one who's going to keep his house in a couple years.
The joke's on Peter O'Toole because I don't have a house.
Exactly. Me too.
Me three.
Suck it, Chris O'Dowd. I don't have shit.
You want to sue me? Go ahead and fucking sue me.
You want to live on top of my landlord? Fine. Can't get blood from a stone, Chris.
Thorn Skullrender, what is your init?
16.
See, this is the problem when you're fighting 8 people. So I assume that your initiative bonus is below a 6, right?
Yeah, plus 3. Yes. Do all goblins have plus 6
initiatives?
Yeah,
dude, they're fast.
Yeah, man, they're quick.
They're wow.
Lord Northwood rolled a 15.
A 15.
Oh, 15, lovely.
Okay. This will make things tricky. All right. So you're looking into this room, you see all these goblins, and one of them at the far southeastern end shouts, "Longshanks!" and jumps up onto one of these marble top tables, pulling out his short bow at the same time.
Oh, baby!
And he fires off a shot at Lord Northwood that is going to be very difficult for him to hit. Yeah, and he misses it. Boom, it clangs off the stone wall next to your head, Lord Northwood.
I think they're belligerent.
Goblin number one, right next to the closest one to you, hears the warning. Swing, pulls out his dog slicer and charges at you.
Ah, revenge on the Longshanks!
Comes right up to Lord Northwood and swings his dog slicer.
Blocking the entrance.
Ooh, that is a... Ooh, that's a critical threat, actually. Natural 19.
Oh, no!
Oh,
that is two natural 19s in a row.
Oh,
that is
no! No, 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 no!
Oh,
not
not no. Northwood.
This I was thinking before we started this combat. I'm like, they have low HP for the most part, but there's a lot of them. We just got to avoid crits because we're all sitting on like 10, 11 hit points. Bad start. Bad start.
Bad start.
So it swings down, catches you right in the thigh with a downward cut. 4 points of damage on your crits.
Okay.
Rhapsody Kincaid, it is your turn.
I said at the end of last week, I'm like, I wanted to go in there like a fucking Jedi, like Darth at the end of Rogue One, just fucking cutting down rebels.
Hell yeah.
That's what I wanted to do, but now the door's blocked. All right, so...
There is another door.
That's true. You do see another door looking through the open door that you're standing in front of.
That's awesome.
Rhapsody, yeah. The other door!
Yeah, I won't be able to attack this round. I just double move into the room and get 19 goblins attacking me before my next round. This isn't the best move here, but I'm going to try to attack him. Can I attack him around the corner and give him cover?
Yeah,
or?
He'll get cover, but yeah.
Okay, I'll try it. So swings the ectoplasmic blade around the corner here. Ooh, that's good. That's going to be an 8. Oh, yeah, 18.
That is a hit.
Nice. You probably needed that too. Their AC is not low.
Yeah, with the cover, you just barely are able to hit him.
Okay, this is going to be oh,
do it.
13 points of damage.
Oh, one shot him. One shot him.
Yeah.
See ya.
Wow.
The door's not blocked.
Wow.
So this goblin steps up, boom, like hits Lord Northwood solidly in the thigh.
Ah.
And then around the corner, the Jedi bird. What do you do, Rhapsody?
I just kind of like stick my arm out and stab it right through his neck around the corner.
Oh, that's awesome. He just sees a bird fist come around the corner.
the terrifying bird fist.
By the way, Matthew, that grunt of getting stabbed in the leg was phenomenal.
Oh,
you should look into video game voiceover work, grunting from getting hit by attacks.
God.
It was like subtly in the background. You were just like, oh.
That might be like the perfect. Kindest thing you've ever said to me.
It was a very nice thing to say. I got to admit. Okay, and so the goblin slides off of your ectoplasmic blade to the ground.
And then I do have my movement speed, yes. So what I'll do is 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. No, that doesn't make sense. I'll stay there. No reason to make myself a pin cushion.
Okay. So then it is... Double check. Okay, it is Goblin number 4's turn. He's standing on a marble table somewhere in the middle of the room. He jumps down off the table and double moves right up into Lord Northwood, blocking the door again.
No!
And Goblin number 6. Okay, it's Goblin number 6's turn. Goblin number 6 is playing, looks like, with a pair of metal tongs that have what looks like glowing molten glass hanging, dripping off the end of them. And with these tongs in hand, he also comes running at you.
Oh, no.
And
well, that's cool.
He gets pretty close to you. He's about 10 feet away from Lord Northwood outside the door. And it is Lord Northwood's turn.
Okay, Lord Northwood will turn on power attack and take a...
And Raging Song's on if you want it.
I believe I turned it down. I'm trying to remember last episode. Let me check my sheet.
I took it.
Okay, so yeah, I have it. All right, so Lord Northwood, surging with a bit of Thorn's rage, will take a swing at the goblin right in front of him.
Okay.
Crack die. 20 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. Max damage, 14 points of damage.
Oh, okay. My God.
Oh.
So this other goblin...
brothers. Amazing.
This other goblin comes running up at full speed towards you with its dog slicer in hand, and what do you do?
Lord Northwood, shield in one hand, longsword in the other, sees the goblin charging at him, gauges momentum, and just stabs his sword and lets him run himself right through.
So he impales himself on your sword, and he eviscerates his body. He's dead.
and okay, then, and you can move if you like.
Yeah, what do I Rhapsody is correct. If I were to step in the room, I'm just going to be a pincushion for every one of these guys.
But you're keeping your friends out of there, too.
Yes, so I don't want to be... Well, I mean, you can walk through my square. I just can't.
That's true.
Right now, I'm just plugging up the hole. I almost want to just close the door on their face. Disorient them. No, you know what? I will step into the room. No, Lord Northward glances back after seeing Rhapsody's brilliant around-the-corner katana move, and then takes comfort in both the song of Thorn and the presence of Averxius the Red, and he will charge into the room. He's like, "Don't let them hit you! Follow me!" And he will move into the room towards the goblin on the table.
Wow. Wow. One,
old. Two, three, four, five, six. So he'll actually duck into the alcove, give himself a little bit of cover from some of the goblins on the other end.
Okay. And this is, by the way, the glass in here, they have examples of some of their work. So they're these stained glass windows in all of these settings around this furnace. And this colored light is pouring into the room with the fire. It's very, very strange, kind of beautiful atmosphere. It is goblin number five's turn. And it jumps down off the table, and it pulls out its short bow, and it takes a shot against Lord Northwood. Very difficult shot. 15 to hit, and you have some cover. That is a miss. All right. So it is Thorn Skullrender's turn.
Okay. So Thorn, she's going to continue her song. Does that count as a second round then, right? Because I started before we went started, into the room?
Yeah.
Okay. So that comes, she's going to continue the song, but so she is going to also come in the room and try to move. If she moves here, I don't think that causes an attack of opportunity.
Where's here, Nick?
She runs through the door, sticking along the wall as she comes in there, and she's going to attempt to cast Daze on the goblin that charged right here. The goblin that charged with the tongs full of the molten glass.
Okay.
So that's a DC 13 will save.
All right. That's a fail.
Nice. Ooh. Okay, so that goblin is now dazed.
Okay. Dazed. Dazed and presumably confused. Awesome.
They usually are.
They are. Okay, so that is Thorn.
That's my turn.
Yeah, that's Thorn's turn. It is now goblin number seven's turn. It draws its bow, moves up a few feet, and takes a shot against Thorn. Ooh, natty 18.
Ooh,
for 22 to hit.
These are rocks on fire.
4 points of damage to Thorn.
Okay.
And it is Fafel Fenfolian's turn, and his friend's turn as well.
And his friend, Averxius. So Averxius sees Lord Northwood just cut down this goblin and then sound the charge and disappear into the room. And he just you imagine the fire in his eyes lighting up even more as the charge is sounded. And he's about to run into him. He's like, wait! And reaches out his hand and touches him and casts Mage Armor on
nice.
Him.
Oh, nice.
And then Averxius runs into the room and just looking for a first target. And there's a poor, sad goblin 15 feet from the door.
He's already dazed.
He's dazed, and his life is about to come to an end. So Averxius comes in the room, sees this easy target of this dazed creature, and will attack. Natty 19. That is a hit.
That's a great axe, right?
That's a great
so
axe.
20
baby.
Times 3?
Yeah, 20 times 3, yeah. And he will do 10 points of damage.
Oh, okay. So
What Avernus kills this goblin. What does he do? What happens?
He comes in. And it's just kind of at a funny angle, and he just doesn't have quite the time to get his blade around. But he sees the weakness in this dazed goblin, and he just takes the blunt end and smashes his skull in with the blunt end of the great axe.
Yes,
flattens the goblin's face with the flat of his blade, and he collapses, crumbles to the floor.
And Foley is going to move into the room, actually.
Okay.
Behind Avixis. Well, actually, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, I shouldn't be able to do that. Because I casted, and then I didn't move. Actually, no, I will, because... No, because Foley wouldn't charge
in
the room
first.
No, it's
the same turn, so...
Yeah. Well, if you don't care, I'll do it.
That's fine. All right. That's fine.
So, yeah, he'll just move in behind Avixis.
Okay, awesome. All right, well done. It is Goblin number 2's turn. It's standing up on a wooden table. It's just been... come up, Lord Northwood has just come into its area.
Oh,
and
hello.
Old Longshanks! Ah!
Pulls up, raises its dog slicer over its head, and swings down with a mighty blow. 17 to hit.
Because of Inspired Rage, that hits.
Oh no!
Oh no, Lord Northwood.
Shitty!
Oh no. Well, unfortunately, that is 2 points of damage, Lord Northwood.
I say still not that good. Is not very kind.
Kind at all.
I object to this treatment.
Against the against a lord, no less.
And it is Goblin number 3's turn. It is standing by the furnace, and it also picks up burning tongs and charges up against Avernus the Red. It says,
"Red Longshanks!" Ah!
And that is a 16 against touch AC.
That is a hit.
Okay. That is 1 point of fire damage.
Oh, dear. And it's just like, it hurts him. It's like, shh. And he's like, oh! Enraged.
It kind of like pulls back. It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he saw him coming at him with the tongs, and he was like, ha, 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 bared his teeth laughing, and then it actually hurt, and he's like, what is happening?
Oh, not used to that.
I hate this place.
Yeah. Round 2, it is Goblin number 8's turn. He's way at the far end of the room. He moves up a bit, clambers down, get along the furnace with his bow, and fires off a shot at Thorn across the table. That is a 14 to hit.
That is a miss.
All right.
There we go.
Well done. And it is Rhapsody's turn.
Rhapsody strides in the room past his allies and up to the goblin standing on the table near Lord Northwood and gives a big old swing with the blade that just impaled one of his buddies. That's going to be a 14 to hit.
Oh, that's a miss.
Oh no.
No.
It like jumps over your blade on top of this table as you swing
that's
so cool.
His legs. Swings it like a swashbuckler.
It is Lord Northwood's turn.
Lord Northwood will attempt to strike out at the goblin on the table in front of him. Power attack is on. 20 to hit again.
That's a hit.
Nice.
Okay, that is 7 points of damage this time.
Here we go.
Okay. So it jumps over Rhapsody's blade, and then Lord Northwood swings at it and catches it and splits it open and kills it.
Yeah.
Just slices his legs off.
Yeah. As it comes down from landing after jumping over the blade, you swing and cut off both its legs and it falls
over. That is great.
All right, Lord. And then Lord Northwood will press the charge, and he will move up. And he can get about halfway between him and the next group of goblins at the next apse in this little, next little alcove.
Okay. All right. And it is Goblin number 5's turn. It still has its bow. It runs over next to the furnace. Oh, actually, you know what? It runs right up to you. And it tries to trip you.
Oh.
and rolls a natural 2. So I think you get an attack of opportunity against him, right?
I believe so, unless he...
Unless he has improved trip, which he doesn't.
All right. Well, then I will take a swing with the longsword. That is a 15 to hit.
That is a miss.
Okay.
Okay. That was 5. And it is, man, Thorn's turn.
Okay. So Thorn continues singing her song. The wife was on the pot, of course, as goblin teeth sunk in her arse. She screamed for naught. The goblins came, ran roughshod through their tiny house. And as she's singing that, she takes off at a run.
Have you gotten in trouble at home for singing too loud, Nick? Because you're doing your like stage whisper singing, and I don't like it one bit.
Do it like you do it on the show.
I like the full-lung Niccolo.
I'll be back in New York soon, where I'll be 2 levels down from my sleeping children, and I'll be able to go full bore, no problem. So Thorn runs as she's singing that up to Binky, and she casts Cure Light Wounds on the Bankman, because you're down at least like 6, I would say, right?
I'm down 6 exactly.
Wow, yep. Good guess.
Nice work,
nice
Nick.
Match tonight.
So you get a, what is this, plus 1, you get 4 points of healing.
Oh, thank you, Thorn. I appreciate it.
Keep going with that charge, Binky. And she touches your back and gives you and heals you, and she's like, I've got your back, mate.
All right, so a little bit of healing magic for Peter Binkman. And it is Goblin number 7's turn. It also runs up and also tries to trip Lord Northwood. Rolls a natural 1.
I think I get an attack of opportunity, whether or not it's successful. But let's take the attack of opportunity right now.
Do you have combat reflexes?
I do not, but I was just reading the text of trip. And it says, unless you have improved trip...
But didn't you already take an attack of opportunity?
Oh, I did not. Nope, you're right. I do not.
Yeah, you're out of AOOs for the day, unfortunately. Well, for the round.
For the day.
That was your last one.
No more.
To rest 8 hours.
I forgot because I missed so poorly on the last one.
And it is Fafelfenfolian's turn.
Fafelfenfolian's turn. Okay, then he is going to... Averxius raises this battle axe over his head to bring it down on top of this goblin, and Foley reaches out at the last second and Desna, guide his blade, and he's going to cast guidance on Averxius, who will then get a +1 as he brings down right from over his head on top of the goblin. That is a 19 to hit.
That is a hit.
Nice.
Oh, baby. Oh, 18 points of damage.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. With the inspired rage and a 1d12 +7.
You just So you just hit him for 3 times his total damage. So yeah, he's
really
dead.
Pissed about that fire damage. That was it was just a not fun thing to find out.
In a rare moment of goblin clarity, it knew that it had made a mistake as soon as it did that.
Man, I shouldn't have done that.
And it is now round 3, and it is goblin number 8's turn. And it, shaking, seeing what Averxius did to its friend, it fires a shot out of its bow at him. Natural 20.
Oh. I apologize. I'm also going to move. Just deeper into the room.
Okay.
I could do 3 of those because it's diagonal, but Foley can only do 2.
Okay. So, but you're hit with an arrow, and the attack is not confirmed, so that is a regular hit.
Woo!
You take 3 points of damage, Averxius.
This arrow sticking out of the side of his skin.
Skin.
And, okay... Okay, it is Rhapsody's turn.
All right, Rhapsody, he's a little pissed that he missed, but he sees that this fight is almost over as far as he can tell, so he's going to slide up next to his buddies and bring down the pain. Come on, Rhapsody. 17 to hit.
That is a hit.
There you go, Raps.
12 points of damage to the guy.
Wow.
Goodness.
So describe your kill, Rhapsody.
He does one of those like lightsaber twirls around his wrist. Like he's pissed that he missed, so he spins it around the back of his knuckles as he's moving forward, and then just strikes down with two hands with the ectoplasmic blade, cuts the goblin down.
Wonderful. Rhapsody is so fucking cool.
It's pretty great. And it is Lord Northwood's turn yet again.
Lord Northwood will take a swing at the goblin that stepped up to him and tried to trip him. How dare he? critical threat.
Oh my god.
Hot. Critical threat.
Oh no.
It's a 7 to confirm, but it was a 24 to hit.
You're probably okay.
That is 13 points of damage.
Describe your kill, Lord Northwood.
So he feels invigorated from the healing he just got from Thorn, and then Rhapsody sweeps in with his sweet move and twirls around and dices up this goblin, and Lord Northwood just very calmly, very methodically, takes a single step forward and slices with a diagonal downward motion and cuts the goblin in half.
Awesome.
Wow.
Dude, that's the two rounds. 7 dead goblins.
One more on me.
So red blood and green viscera spray all over the glassworks. It's like Christmas in here. And you run up to the final goblin and
face down the final goblin.
It is that final goblin's turn. It is trembling, shaking still. It drops its short bow and pulls out its dog slicer and stabs at you vainly, missing. And it is Thorn's turn.
Okay. Thorn is going to approach. Let's see. 5, 10, 15, 20. She's going to jump up on this table as she goes. Do I need to do anything to do that? Acrobatics check or anything?
Yeah, if you're going to do that in a... Well, no, just the... That's... Yeah, do an acrobatics check.
All right, acrobatics check. Let's see how they, oh, no. Let's see. Oh, good. 7.
All right, so you fall flat on your face on top of this table.
Well, she does maintain her song. She maintains the song.
You're a pro, after all, so yes.
Yep, so she sings like, Father yelled and ran to... Whoop! Through the night, but as you'll notice, like the if anyone's looking closely at Thorn as she does it, the wound that she took from the first arrow that got shot at her, you see by now it has actually completely healed as she has as the rounds have progressed, because she has Scald's Vigor. That happens as long as I keep maintaining my song, I heal 2 points every round. And so Thorn's doing well.
Okay. Nice.
Other than falling on her face on a table, okay. She tried to. Can she take a swing from prone at this guy?
Yeah, sure.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay. She's gonna take. Do I take a penalty for that?
Yes.
How much?
We'll find out.
-4.
Yeah, okay. -4.
Okay. Let's see. Cracked die. 17 on the die. So it would have been a 20. So, 16?
That's a hit.
Nice!
Nice, okay. Thorn!
There we go. So, that is 1d8 plus 3.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Ooh, that is 7 points of damage.
Okay. And describe your kill, Thorn.
Oh, my God! Another one!
So, Thorn! Thorn!
That was ugly!
Thorn falls. So, she jumps up on the table, singing her song, falls flat, and she looks up, and the goblin notices it and gives a little chuckle at her, falling on her face, and she goes, "Shut your fucking green mouth," and she swings her axe and just digs it in the side of the goblin's head, like deep in there. It splits it in two, and she's just like, "Yeah, you better die, you little green fuck."
She's very angry.
She just cannot stop swearing. She can't stop.
She has filthy. A potty mouth, and I apologize.
It's fine. It's not like your kids are listening to this.
They will one day.
They will. Sorry, guys. Okay. Do you guys enjoy that, by the way? Do you like being describing your own kill when that comes
yes!
up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes, I just wish that I less often was like, I split him in half.
It's hard. I'm always like, new fun ways to kill people. Like,
why do I always split them in half? I got to come up with something different.
Yeah, think about it. But I guess, I mean, I usually do it, and I think it's fun to let you guys do it if you agree.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I like it.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, all the goblins that you see are dead. However, at that moment, the set of double doors at the far southeastern end of the room come open, and another goblin peeks through and sees the wreckage that you all have wrought in this room. And he screams, "Intruders! Alarm! Alarm!" And goes dashing, darting back through the door as it swings on its hinges open behind him.
Averxius just takes one look at Lord Northwood, and they understand each other.
Lord Northwood raises his sword above his head. And charges after the goblin.
Okay. And Averxius will be right on his heels.
Okay.
And Foley's like, "Wait! Wait!" Lagging
Thorn
behind.
Brushes herself off. She runs too.
Yeah, we'll all run.
Okay, so you're running. And the door.
Could Foley, as he's like running to catch up, could he kind of like slow motion down for a second and just look to the left at this like glass covered body and just do a quick perception to see what he sees up closer?
Yeah, make a perception check.
Come on, Folster. Dude, 20.
Whoa! Okay.
So as you're running by, you see the contorted facial features of Lonjuku Kaijutsu as it looks as though he was tied down and then had molten glass poured all over him, which is now hardened into a clear shell.
Oh my god.
That's the dad.
So he's 100% right? Dead.
Oh right. Yeah. He is absolutely dead.
And he was executed.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And that's the dad.
You know
dead,
what? I'm
right?
Gonna say Foley doesn't even make it then. Like he just stops stock still and is just staring at this gruesome sight.
Yeah.
Recognizing the features of Lonjuku. And he's just like,
wow,
stunned. And Averxius doesn't even notice it. He just runs by to hunt Goblin.
Okay. All right. So you guys open. You pass through these double doors that you saw the Goblin go through. And let me reveal this.
Good thinking, Joey.
And you see what looks like a loading room. There's a wheelbarrow sitting against the wall, and there are shelves on the wall that contain jars of what looks like it's probably various reagents to create different colors of glass. And there is a safe on the floor that is hanging open.
Any of the doors open?
Quick perception?
The doors are all closed.
Huh.
There seems to be a greenish figure in the room on Roll 20. Is that... Oh, that is...
I think that's supposed to be the wheelbarrow.
Aha. Okay.
Stab it to make sure.
Yep. I poke at it with the pointy end of my sword. I step in the room and... The only other doors are the double doors on the far side, you said? Or there's a single door up to the northeast?
No, there are... In this room, there is a door on the northeastern wall. There are double doors leading south. And there are two doors on the western wall.
And all of them are closed and seemed... By the time we get in the room.
And they're all closed, yeah.
I will first go to the double doors and... I know Matthew knows from looking at the map, these are the ones that lead outside, but I'll open them and if I can, if they might be locked.
Okay, yeah, and you can unlock them from this side, and you open them up, and yeah, it's the doors to the outside.
And the goblins aren't fleeing. I don't see them.
No, you don't see anyone outside.
The door was locked, right?
The door was locked, yeah.
Yeah, so they probably didn't run out.
I close the door, and I gesture to Averxius and Rhapsody and Thorn that they're... Probably in one, they probably have retreated through one of the other doors.
Don't give them time to dig in.
Averxius is going to push open the door.
The northernmost door on the western wall. And
yes.
We reveal
double door. Oh yeah.
What you see.
I thought it was a double door. Is it not a double door?
No, it's two separate doors.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow, they're very close. Little room.
So close.
So close. Man.
Separate rooms.
So you open the door, and there's a, looks like a hallway that branches off to the northwest and down to the southeast.
Not
and
this
there's
one.
Another door at the far end on the left.
He looks back to Lord Northwood.
Rhapsody will just check this door right here to the north in that small room.
Okay. Rhapsody opens the door on the northeastern wall. And you see there is a short corridor that turns to the northwest, and they're inside. As you turn the corner, there is a set of stairs going down.
Oh, no stairs going down.
Just That's for fairness' awesome. Sake, Lord Northwood will open that last door.
Yeah, Thorn
must be it. Wall.
Okay.
Yes.
Lord Northwood opens the southernmost door on the western wall. And you are treated to a great view of Area A-15.
A-15!
There are just bags of what looks like implements that are used for making glass. So there's like bags of sand. There's different other kinds of dust that looks you don't aren't familiar with, just lying around in sacks and barrels.
Great. Can I just do a quick perception on the room, make sure there's not a goblin hiding in this room?
Sure.
Before we move on, 13.
Not as far as you can tell.
Great. I stab at the wheelbarrow and then follow Rhapsody.
Okay. The wheelbarrow cries out in pain.
Oh, sorry.
It says,
"Tell my story,"
and then dies.
Foley comes walking into the room as if in a daze, wide-eyed.
"It's Longjuku. It's Ameiko's father. They killed him."
And he's just stunned. He's just pointing back into the room, like looking at you guys, like, what are we supposed to do?
"We must pursue the goblins further until we ever rooted out the invasion. Then we shall sort out the tragedy that has befallen this place."
Thorn goes in with Rhapsody and does a perception check to see if she can hear anything down the stairs.
Okay.
Ooh, let me do it. 19.
I'm much better.
Natty 19 for a 21.
I rolled a 9, which is also a 21.
Wow.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Damn. There's just so much more talent in that.
I like casually listen.
You hear soft footfalls receding into the darkness below.
Oh, okay.
Goblins with slivers.
Let's go. So we tell them what we hear. I think we got to go after him, right?
Yep. Still more places to check out here on the first floor, but if that thing ran, good chance it ran down here, and maybe that's where Mexico is.
We got to go down.
Let's go.
Come on, okay. Boys.
There's one more door. Do you want to check it before we leave our flank uncovered?
It is a very wise idea, Xerxes. Yes, I shall accompany you. Lead the way.
Taloned, hooved feet. He goes walking down the hallway of the door he opened, but didn't see any goblins initially. So he'll first step and peek around the corner.
Okay, he peeks around the corner, and to the south you see a 10-foot corridor that ends in another single door. And you are also able to see up to the northwest pair of double doors and another single door.
So four more doors.
Yeah. Xerxes will just move directly to the south, 10 feet, and try to open the door.
Okay, you open the door to the south, and you are shocked to see room A12. This looks like the reception area. There's a reception desk. There's a ledger. There's all kinds of stuff for running a business.
Okay.
Nope. And yet another door.
We're clear on the floor. Then.
And another door. Yes.
Yep. Rhapsody turns around from the stairs. I guess we're clear on this floor. And he'll do a perception check in that room with the ledger.
Okay.
30.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's a couple of like comfortable chairs. There's a pot of flowers. It looks like it's here to like greet business clients. And there's an appointment book on the desk. And you flip through it, and there's nothing of note that you would know makes any sense to you.
Okay.
Thorn follows him and comes through here. She opens these double doors to find the hallway she's already been in.
Yeah, you open those and you see the big long hallway that you stepped into when you left the dining area.
All right. She's going to start hustling down here. She wants to open up this door. If we're clearing all the rooms here, she's going to go head over there in case there's trouble there.
Okay, so you go down to the end of the hallway and you open the door at the end of the hall on the left?
Yeah, on the left.
All right. So let me reveal this area. This is... Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead. It's good.
This is a display room. There are pieces that are examples of some of the great work that they do here at the Kaijutsu Glassworks. Really beautiful pieces and different implements. It's almost like a mini museum.
Okay, can I do a quick perception on that one? Sure. 4. That's just an 8.
Just like various glasswork bottles, 6. Window panes, glasswork art. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Lord Northwood would like to open
the... Oh, and there is another door on the southeastern side of that room.
Okay. Bink.
My God.
Lord Northwood.
I'm going to open up the door that I'm standing next to, right next to the double doors.
Okay. You guys really opened a can of worms here, didn't you?
Yeah, seriously. There's so many rooms.
Shit.
I was just looking for goblins.
They're downstairs.
This is a meeting room. You've stumbled into the Sequoia room. just a bunch of tables sitting around and chairs.
I'll check the small room right next to the room that I'm in here. It looks like the little corner here to the south.
Yeah, there's a little
off of the reception area.
Yeah,
off of the reception. It's the restroom.
Shitter. No, this is a filing room. There's file cabinets and shelves containing files and contracts with dozens of exporters and businesses from Magnavar, Corvosa, and other local towns. They fill this room.
Anything jump out?
No. Yeah, you could search this room, and there's nothing special in here.
I'll meet up with the party so I can roll.
It'll take 10 hours to search it thoroughly.
Okay.
Okay, Thorn.
We'll get a forensic accountant in here to really go through it.
Let me see those documents.
I believe Rhapsody is correct in that the goblins are downstairs, and I feel we are wasting precious time.
All right. Thorn comes to goes through this door up here in the room she's in to make her way back. She has to head back anyway. May as well go through these other rooms to make sure there's nothing else.
All right, so she heads through that door on the southeastern side of the display room, and you see a winding corridor that you realize there are 3 more doors in here, and you know that it leads back into the dining room.
Okay, so she's throwing up doors and quick glancing in while she goes, if we have time for that.
Okay, yeah, I will. Let me just reveal all these. There's a janitor's closet on your, on your left, and there is just a couple of storerooms.
This map is so detailed. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So she starts making her way back as well. She goes through the dining room, but back because she's getting the same picture. There's no goblins up here. They just got to go down because someone's in trouble down there.
They're ripping off of Mayako's fingers downstairs.
Hey guys, look, there's some files in here.
They're down to the pinky on the left hand.
Yes. Rhapsody, your point is well taken. Lead the way.
All right, come on. Let's just get to see what's going on down there.
Okay. So Rhapsody is in the lead, and you start heading down the stairs. Refer to the northeastern quadrant of the map, and you will see what downstairs looks like.
Oh.
You come around a corner.
Ooh, okay.
And you see there's a... You look. There's a little hallway. There's sand and other raw materials. There's a couple of wheelbarrows sitting against the wall. And if you look around the corner as you reach the bottom of the stairs, you see what looks like used to be a brick wall that has been dismantled and a corridor leading south. And there's also another corridor that leads up to the north and west.
Do a perception looking for any like homemade shitty goblin traps. 19.
You don't see any traps per se.
Per se?
All right.
Or at all.
Got a couple options here. Want to send two of us down to the south and two around the bend?
By your command, Rhapsody.
Alright, I'll press down here towards the south. Don't go too far in case one of us gets into trouble. Who's coming with me?
I'll follow.
All right. So Rhapsody and a Verxius and Foley head down to the south.
Thorn,
Northwood.
I'll come
with you. Yeah. I'm with you, friend. Don't worry.
Watch your foot.
I'll push to the north.
That blade. What is it?
I don't really know, to be honest. I'm trying to figure it out.
So Lord Northwood and Thorn, you come around the corner and you see the hallway gets 10 feet wide. It widens out and it goes down about 50 or 60 feet. And it's just more crates and sand and wheelbarrows. Looks like more like raw materials.
I see there's a corner there about halfway down. Turn.
Yes, and then about 20 feet down, there is another corridor that turns off to the south. You walk up there, and you look down it, and do you have light, by the way?
No, I have a... I could light a torch.
I can cast Dancing Lights as a cantrip.
Okay, so you got some light in here. So you look down, and you see a hallway going down to the south. There are two doors on the western wall. The other group of you, you are coming around from the other angle, and you see a
I'll cast quarter. Light on the blade.
Okay, great. And you see another, what looks like another dismantled brick wall at the end of this corridor, and you see two doors along the southern wall.
Whoa. So we come around the corner, we see each other. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
All right.
Friends.
You open the north door, we'll open the south.
I'll open the Northwood door. not the time? All right. Sorry. He opens the door.
But before you open the door, just for good measure, Thorn touches you, Binky, and casts Resistance. I imbue you with magical energy that protects you from harm, granting you a +1 resistance bonus on saves.
Why, thank you, Thorn.
How long does that last?
Duration is 1 minute.
Wow, okay. So you open the door. Yeah, it's incredibly useful.
Classic.
It's got to be wrong. You open the door, and this is looks like just another storage room. There's glassware, whole like window panes, and other finished goods are kept in here.
Nothing in this store.
I do an extra perception check just to be safe, and that is a 20.
Nothing outstanding in here.
It's quite strange. We'll open the other door.
On the western wall, the southernmost door?
Oh, I didn't even see there were two doors leading to south.
Yeah, there's two doors on the southern wall, and there's one other door on the western wall.
Yeah,
so
we'll
you open
the
one
western
on the
wall.
Western wall. Okay. So you open the door, and... You see, bound and unconscious, the beaten form of a Mako Kaijutsu lying in the corner, the far corner of the room. And Foley, the door next to you, to your south, flies open.
No!
And you see an elf and two goblins on other side, and they immediately attack. And we'll see you next week.
No, Foley, not Foley. Oh, no.
Holy shit, dude. I was just going to ask her.
Kristen, correct. Who did this to you? Nixium?
Oh, jeez.
Goblins.
Too soon. Too soon.
Legacy of the Ancients is a Glass Cannon Network production of Paizo's Rise of the Runelords Adventure Path. Paizo Pathfinder, their respective logos, and all Paizo titles, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo Inc. and are used with permission. The Glass Cannon Network is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Inc.